Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast brought to you by Tab Touch. Today, Melbourne has done it again. How injuries are impacting finals hopefuls, and we pick our grand finalists for this season.
That was out of bounds!
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant.
Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is... Oh, that's what it is.
The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast. It is Tuesday. It is time for the first edition of our podcast this week. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. Quarters, another sensational weekend of footy. West Coast... incredible last gasp victory over Port Adelaide, which has major ramifications for the prospects of both clubs. Melbourne just cannot get it done when it matters, and now have to win one of the last two to play finals for the first time in 12 years. GWS continues to defy injury and ploughs on towards the top end of the ladder. Your boys, the Hawkers, have now snuck themselves into top four, and I suspect Alistair Clarkson, if there was any doubt, has cemented his reputation as the great coach of the modern era. And Geelong, with all that midfield talent, are in danger of missing the eight, although with a soft draw in the run home, we suspect they'll probably still
Geelong,
get there.
Geelong makes the eight. You're right about Clarkson. I don't think there was any doubt about him as a coach. Geelong definitely makes the eight. I guess the question is who slips out. It's Melbourne or Port or Sydney. But I think it's going to – I'm assuming – And assuming things in footy is a dangerous caper, but I'm assuming West Coast wins at home this week, which means it's that final round against GWS at the MCG for the D's.
Yeah.
And wow. They have just boxed themselves into a corner yet again and, you know, cannot beat a side above them. And they're the facts. They're the bare facts. So
we'll come back to Melbourne. Let's talk about what the local listeners will be interested in.
Oh, Saturday night.
West Coast... against Port Adelaide. Three things out of this game, I reckon, that the injuries to Port Adelaide, astonishing, to lose three in 5 minutes, two virtually simultaneously. Like, basically, there was such a long delay because there were two blokes who required stretchers and only one stretcher available. So Charlie Dixon goes down, Houston goes down, and, of course, Paddy Ryder hobbles off with the hip flexor injury.
So what did they say when the second player went down? Do you think in the coach's box?
Well, I don't think
Houston, we have a problem. they were brave, Port. Sorry, on to your third point.
Incredibly brave for all but the last 2 minutes.
Well, they led the entire game.
The last 2 minutes. Mm. Well done to West Coast.
Well done to McGovern for drifting down. Diabolically bad behind the ball for Port. But I'm going to give them an out because they were just... I thought they were incredibly brave to be in the position they were in, given the rotations down they were. Paddy Ryder had the hip flexor, and the Eagles had to win that. Now, they did win it, and it was really well done, at the end, and just unbelievable where it was in the vicinity of Shuey's kick after last year's game, after last year's final. You know, I was thinking after the game, footy has a way of healing itself. We've come off a pretty bad week in terms of footy where we're not feeling really good about the game. Mm. And footy has a way of healing itself. And that's what happened on Saturday night. It puts a smile on your face when you see results. Not if you're a Port supporter, of course.
Yeah, but I was gonna say,
from a pure footy point of view, Duff, just with the theatre of it, that's what it does for me. And it was a really healing weekend, I felt.
So a couple of things. McGovern... looked to the coach's box before that last centre bounce and said, do you want me back or do you want me forward? Eventually they decided forward. Very clever the way he went forward. He didn't storm forward.
No, so no, it was just obviously subtly just sneaked
snuck
there,
around
he?
By the wing. And the other thing was his positioning was really clever because he understood that Dougal Howard and Jonas were deep.
Yeah.
And rather than run back to them so that it made them easy an easy changeover. I think Jonas ended up getting stuck on Willy Rioli.
Yeah, and he was trying to signal to Ebert to let's swap here, let's switch here. And they had plenty of time too. But after that stoppage too, they had plenty of time. So, and it's not as if McGovern's a small bloke wandering down subtly down there into the forward line. So, you know, I'm going to put it down to just them being decimated and fatigued, Port. But, you know, they'll look back at that and say, well, there's an opportunity lost.
I thought their worst mistakes were actually in the lead up to the Mark Lacroix goal.
Yeah.
So to me, Cleary at one stage had a mark on 50, could have easily signaled to the ump, I'm shooting for goal, taken his 30 seconds, and then probably kicked it pretty much at the point post and asked a tall forward to punch it out of bounds, get a stoppage set up behind the ball. That didn't happen. I thought at one stage Motlop could have held up play on the outer wing, didn't play it on. He had Polek outside of him. He could have just chipped it to Polek. They could have milked another 20 seconds there. So I was a bit amazed that they were still trying to play run-and-gun footy when they'd been down to one rotation for the entire last quarter. And they were basically the team that had the one-and-a-half-goal lead, and they were the team that should have been in protection mode. But West Coast won. Their gun stood up. Luke Shuey, we talk about Elliot Yeo as the reigning club best and fairest, and we talk about Andrew Gaff as their best midfielder this year.
And but both have had terrific years, but I know where you're going, and you're right.
When Luke Shuey elevates his game to where it can get to, he is their best midfielder.
Yeah, and there were players, I think you alluded to this in your column yesterday, you know, it's the underneath, the players underneath. Your Cripps, he rarely puts a foot wrong, Cripps, yet goes under the radar every week and kicks his one or two every week and gives a few away. You know, Lacroix's maybe not underrated by us, but certainly undervalued, I think, in the whole scheme of things.
I think Tom Barris came in.
He did.
Took 10 marks.
And a great intercept mark when it counted.
You know, Scotty Lysette got the last clearance. Tom Cole, I've loved his season. Mm. Tom Cole looked like a good player in his first season, mainly running around at East Perth, but he looked like a guy who was going to make it. Then he kind of was treading water for 2 years. He has established himself firmly in the team this year. And Liam Duggan, a little bit like Cole, looked a good player early, and then was sort of hovering between waffle and AFL level for a couple of seasons.
And to go deep, you need that depth. And we've seen what's the proof of that with GWS at the moment. They've got so many injuries, yet they're still winning, finding ways to win and going okay and could very well win the flag. And you look at Richmond being the same. Now, first injury to Richmond, not that I'm willing injuries on Richmond, but we see Kane Lambert's injured with a partial syndesmosis.
Yeah, which is it's an interesting one. Yeah, so he's had surgery.
And they're saying 2 weeks, but I'm just scratching my head a bit over that one.
Well, I think they're saying they're preparing him for a qualifying final, which means 3.
Yep.
Now, when you think of a syndesmosis as anywhere from a 6 to 12-week injury, it's going to be interesting to see how they get him back. But obviously, if it's only at the minor end, I guess that it is possible that he gets back. But I'm thinking of the ones that I remember, like David Mundy's back in 2011. That was basically a half-season injury. So, and the Tigers, look, the Tigers are due a couple of injuries. They've had a remarkable run with injury.
And right now, Duff, I'm gonna say I've got Richmond playing off in the GF. Now, the asterisk is, if they lose either Martin Cochin, Rance, Lambert's really important to them.
Yeah.
Really, really important centre forward to them in the way they play their footy. He's always the first, second ramble receive.
Yeah.
I reckon he probably leads them in inside 50s too. He probably would.
So I would say Lambert to Richmond is as important as Gaff to West Coast.
I would agree with that. But so there's the asterisks there, but I still think, let's assume they're at full strength. I think Richmond's the team to beat still. So we'll put them in for a grand final. So, and I really can't see the Eagles losing. I think they'll get their two home finals, which for me is good enough for them to play off against Richmond in the grand final. That's how I see it panning out. Now, of course, finals are a completely different game, so it could all go pear-shaped. But GWS is the real challenger of those two, I believe. And I'm putting a line through Melbourne. And just a little question mark against Hawthorne. Playing really good footy at the moment. Clarko's got them really humming along. And they'll get players back. But I just don't elevate them yet to. I just don't think there are the quality of those other teams above them at this point.
For me, my two grand finalists now are Richmond and West Coast.
Yep.
West Coast, to me, yes, they've lost Nat Nui, but they're still replacing their injured players with genuine AFL players. So Nat Nui goes down, Lysette becomes first ruck, Nathan Vardy comes in, Andrew Gaff gets an 8-week suspension, Dom Sheed comes in, Will Schofield goes down, Tom Barras goes back and plays the second tour defender.
I think the point you raised in your column was that, and I agree with you, is that it's not just replacing someone who might do half the job. They're actually getting the job done, the replacement players. That's what I mean by depth. So they've got that depth now. And, you know, you get there. You only have to get there. You certainly can't win it if you're not playing in the grand final.
And then it's on the day.
It can be. And all the pressure will be on Richmond. All the pressure.
Yeah, I don't know whether you ever play a grand final when there's no pressure on you.
No, but they're expected to win this grand final.
Yeah.
So, and that's plaudits to them because they've put themselves up there. But there's with that pressure, funny things can happen, Duff.
Let's move along. So, obviously, a big game to be played in Perth this weekend with Melbourne playing West Coast. The D's.
Yep.
Quarters. So, are we getting to the point where you mentioned their record against the top nine? So, they are 0-7 against the top nine teams. They play two top four teams in the coming weeks, and they probably have to beat one of them to play in the finals. You would have to say, if they don't claim a scalp inside of the top eight, then they don't deserve to play finals. Is that fair enough?
That is fair enough. And I think I just want to see them put their hand up against a quality side. And look, it doesn't help either when you're 3-12 at half time. So you've only got yourself to blame. It doesn't help when you're playing against a side where the key defender, the best defender back there, Isaac Heaney, is taking intercept mark after intercept mark, and you're just kicking it to him.
Mm.
I mean, you've got to be smarter than that.
Is now, he the mark of the year?
He'll go close.
I did like Charlie Cameron's mark.
And Ryan's at the weekend as well. I mean, Charlie Cameron's probably got him. It's just a tough one. It'd certainly be in the top three, I reckon. A terrific game from him. Sydney, you've got to take your hat off to Sydney. That was a great win. Had to win it. They've still got a tough run home. But GWS and Hawthorn at the SCG.
Hawthorn go all right against Sydney at the SCG.
Yeah, they do. They do. So that'll be a cracking last round. But Melbourne, you know, we keep saying, and there's a squad there that's capable of being a real challenger. But you look at their inside 50s, and it's really haphazard, and it gives your opponent, I reckon, from early in the game, a chance to read what you're doing and adapt accordingly. And that's what Sydney did, and they're just not playing smart football.
So do they need? If you look at what Melbourne needs to go to the next level early next year, they probably need another silky midfielder, don't they? Like a steel side bottom type who, when he gets the ball and he looks up and there's a forward out in space inside the attacking 50, he hits him. He doesn't choose the wrong option. He doesn't just bomb it away.
They've got their grunt midfielders. But you're right, they need that real silky outside midfielder who can just lace out. But they also need their forwards to run to the right spot. And I'm not sure if they're playing deep enough when they should be playing deep enough. And I'm just not sure there's a lot of system there in that forward line at the moment.
So Jesse Hogan won't play again this year.
That's a pity.
That's a navicular, and that is a very troublesome injury for a big man.
Yep.
That has bothered other players, so you put an asterisk next to Jesse Hogan for the next year or so now, because if he doesn't get that right over summer, that could be troublesome for him all next year.
Yep.
To balance that out in the game on Sunday, Josh Kennedy doesn't play this week, which probably means he doesn't play until finals for West Coast.
If they win this week, they're a lock for the top two, so why would you go up to the Gabba? I would rest him. Given his history, I would rest him and give him that extra week, and he plays week one of the finals.
Yeah,
that's what I would do. It'd be remiss of us not to talk about. I was at Optus Stadium, suffering through Freo Carlton. I must say, Duff, it wasn't my favourite game of the year.
I did like the third quarter, Glenn.
Yeah, the third quarter. Well, Lachie Neale. Lachie Neale's third quarter, but. And then the news came through that Alex Johnson had done his knee again. Actually texted by a good Sydney man, Smithy, our cartoonist. I was really upset by that. That set me back for a good, you know, it just set me back. I was talking to people around me and I said, look at this. It's just, you know, probably they'll make the decision. It's probably not the right time now to make a decision on what he does, but I would be astonished if they don't just at least give him a chance to stay at the club in some role. I'm not sure if he should continue playing footy at the elite level, given
his
history.
Reconstructing,
but he needs to be around the club. Clearly, he's much loved there, and you know, look, just really feel for the bloke, and that's just, for that to happen. Sometimes it's a cruel game, Duff.
Two things that underline the quality of Alex Johnson as a person: one, that he's gone back to the well 5 times now, mm-hmm. and it remains to be seen whether they allow him try and do it a 6th time. Two, after doing it in the first quarter, he went to the huddle.
Yeah.
At quarter time, and made sure that his injury didn't affect his teammates. Got around his teammates, got them to focus on the task at hand. And I don't know whether that played any role in Sydney's second quarter, which was a 7-goal second quarter. But I just thought that was an incredible piece of character.
Yeah, I don't think it would have hurt. I'm going to add a third too. He was out in the ground after the game shaking the Melbourne players' hands as well.
Yeah.
So that just shows what a sort of a character he is. We should talk about Freo and Carlton, Duff. 29.
Just before you go into that, the other thing that, and this is my take on Alex Johnson. Sometimes in order to give a player credit, you almost have to take the glass 1/10 full approach rather than 9/10 empty. Alex Johnson is a premiership player, was in their best 6 when they beat Hawthorn in 2012. Sorry to bring up that memory.
It was an enjoyable game, that one.
And he got back and he played in that memorable game, the memorable win against Collingwood at the SCG. And he had that. He has those two moments, if you know what I mean. He will be an under-50 game player, and clearly he was going to be a better player than that. Mm. But has a premiership, which a lot of players would love to have.
Yes.
And had that moment at the SCG, and
there've been a few 300 game players without a flag who I reckon might trade it.
I don't know whether they trade it, but I reckon there would be envy.
Yeah, I think that's for sure.
Of Alex Johnson and his.
So
career.
We wish him all the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Freo Carlton game on Sunday. Look, it took him the best part of 2.5 quarters, I guess, but they got there in the end, and a great third quarter from Lachie Neale. And as I suspected leading into this game, you know, it was always going to be hard for Carlton to travel. Young group, play that 4 quarters out. So you're almost, when's this going to happen? When's the dam wall going to burst? But as I suspected, it was a good opportunity for McCarthy and Cox to find a bit of form. And McCarthy certainly found a bit of form. Best footy I've seen him play for some time. Mm. So that was a good opportunity for Freo to do that. And, you know, and we did, and we saw, again, we saw a Carlton effort that wasn't without promise. Obviously, Cripps, and we saw Curno, particularly early.
And
before,
McKay.
And McKay.
What was McKay doing running around in the VFL for half this season? Can you explain that to me?
I can't, but he was asked ad nauseum about that, and he was holding him back.
Are you talking about integrity of selection?
Well, I'm not sure whether it was they were trying him, it was his defensive side, whether they were trying him to work himself out of VFL, whether they think he's too young to be playing as a forward in the AFL competition, because it is pretty brutal out there when you're a forward. Maybe that's it, but that's the only explanation I can come up with. He's a ripper, and I think fair to say he won't be playing too many more games in the VFL.
So I loved the Charlie Curnow, Alex Pierce battle. I thought that was almost the highlight of the game.
Has he been instructed not to kick, Alex Pierce?
Well,
he rarely kicks.
He's kicking a little better, but there's still a bit of work to
be done.
He
handballs a lot.
He does. Well, and he should too, the way he kicks.
Yeah, there you go.
So well done, Fremantle. And the other guy, I reckon David Mundy will win Fremantle's Best and Fairest this year. There you go.
And I also want to mention Langdon too, for that act of courage in the third quarter, which he commented on after the game. But you know, sometimes
that looked more like an act of stupidity than an act of courage.
You know,
to
sometimes
me.
You actually you think, and I know that we love this stuff. We're old school, and but sometimes I was never
old school enough to do that.
No, I don't reckon I was either. I'm not sure that it's the way to go forward either. Sometimes I think we'll get to the point. Hopefully, we get to the point where you're not shamed if you take a second look.
Oh, mate, that was. I mean, as he was running back and we saw the size of what was coming at him and how it was likely to hit him, you were just thinking, find a way not to do this, Sun, because it's not going to end well. But
I reckon Sun might have been guilty of that a little earlier. Am I wrong?
Yeah, he didn't stand up under a high ball.
And I reckon he might have had a nice phone call when he got off the ground too.
Quite possible.
He was off shortly after that, actually, and I was sort of peeking around the corner to see if I could see him on the phone.
He did get called to the bench, didn't he?
He got called immediately to the bench stuff. So I'm sure it wasn't to see what he was having for dinner that night. Western Bulldogs against North Melbourne, and, you know, a 7-point victory. Victory in a game that sort of oscillated a fair bit. Looked like North was home at the end of the second quarter, and then the Bulldogs completely reversed the form. And really interesting, as soon as the Western Bulldogs, you could see it early, they're just bombing it, a bit like Melbourne. They were just bombing it long into the forward line. And North Melbourne's, and they've got a few back there, they were just able to intercept. But as soon as they lowered their eyes a bit in the second half, they just pierced through North Melbourne and were able to win the game.
So there was that. And there was also that Bontempelli, Daniel, McRae and Hunter had 159 possessions between them. Three of them had 40 plus, and Bontempelli, who's probably the most damaging of all of them, had 35 and kicked
and
two
just
goals.
On that point, Duff, does that therefore not tell you how Ben Jacobs is possibly the player whose absence has affected his club the most? Because if North Melbourne had Ben Jacobs at the weekend, you lock down on at least one of those players, and he can get enough of the footy himself too, and maybe that's the difference with 7 points.
And maybe that's the difference between North Melbourne playing finals and not playing
exactly,
finals.
Because that's probably cost them that. GWS defeated Adelaide by 14 points in Canberra. And again, more carnage. Heath Shaw, I'm not sure what the latest on Heath is.
So he's hoping 6 weeks.
Yes. So
to me, a PCL, that's the posterior cruciate ligament, for those not au fait with the lingo. To me, that's usually minimum 8 weeks.
Okay.
So I think
he's not playing again this year.
They would have to get all the way to the grand final.
Which is possible. So we mentioned GWS before, and it's a tipping point. They just find a way to win because they've got so much depth. So the players they'll get back, because I still think they can mount a challenge from here. Toby Green is still a few weeks away, but if they progress through to the finals, he's going to be a massive in.
Yeah, so the ones they can get back are Toby Green, Aiden Corr, Matt DeBoer didn't play on the weekend. Yep. I think Matt DeBoer's a pretty important role player.
Very much so.
Particularly, I think Sam Reed pinged a hammy on the weekend. Matt DeBoer is probably the player you would want coming in for Sam Reed. And then there's Zach Williams, who they're still hopeful. So Zach Williams hasn't played at all this year. Now, with Heath Shaw going down, Zach Williams would become very valuable for them running off halfback. Whether you can bring a player in who hasn't played at all during the year, I guess that's a point for debate, but they're certainly not ruling him out of contention.
And final rights call on Adelaide's season, and as discussed many occasions, they have suffered a lot of injuries, but it's been a year. I reckon they'll be pleased to move on from and into another season.
And the folly of playing a guy who's not right, Taylor Walker,
and deserves every bit of his 2 weeks for that sling tackle too.
Yeah, absolutely. Like we know the drill on this now, don't we? Yeah. If you throw them and their head hits the deck.
That was one of the worst sling tackles I've seen, actually. I thought that was a really bad one.
The Niehaus one was pretty bad.
Yeah.
We understand there's a lack of intent here, but there's also a lack of duty of care, and that is the issue here. If you don't exercise your duty of care and a player ends up getting hurt, you're going to be in trouble. And to see a player of the quality of Josh Kelly just lying motionless on the ground after his head hits the deck.
Now, that remains to be seen whether he gets up for this week too.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a pretty sore head after that one. So Collingwood defeated Brisbane, 31 points at Etihad Stadium, and the battle of the possible rising stars. I found it amusing after the game. And not that he's not warranted, but Nathan Buckley talking up Jaden Stevenson, and, of course, Chris Fagan talking up Witherden.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if Stevenson doesn't finish top two or three in the rising
stars. I'd agree.
What did he have on the weekend? Kicked two, had 25 disposals.
Yep.
To stand up like he stood up and be a focal point in a team that's in contention at this stage, I think, is an extremely meritorious.
Witherden's had a good year too, and I'll still go back to Doty at Adelaide too. I think he's had a terrific year. West Coast, of course, we've spoken about. Richmond's we've spoken about, but I guess we should mention Jack's 10.
He's just gone to a new level, hasn't he?
He has.
By becoming more selfless, more team-oriented.
I've got him ahead of their best and fairest. You've got anyone ahead of him?
Well, Lambert turned. Now, Lambert finished third in Richmond's Best and Fairest last year.
So he'd be a chance. But I just think Riewoldt's selfless role he's played, and we saw him play that throughout the final series last year as well, but he has gone up to another level this year.
Yep.
Gets the job done every week when required. And I know it was they beat up on a team that was decimated and playing completely devoid of confidence, Gold Coast, but he still kicked 10.
So quarters, at this stage of the year, Geelong is ninth.
Yep.
And they have Gary Ablett, Patrick Dangerfield, Joel Selwood, Mitch Duncan, Tim Kelly and Sam Menegola running through the
Incredible.
Middle. How can you be, and Tom Hawkins to kick at. How can you be ninth with those players at your disposal?
You're ninth because you're not converting. And, mate, obviously they're getting enough of the footy, but where are they getting the footy from? They're winning a lot of contested ball up the other end. And that is an incredibly deep midfield. And, you know, what a great game from Dangerfield at the weekend against Hawthorn. What a great game. Mm. I mean, even I was obviously sitting there. You do a little bit of barracking for your team, but you just marvel sometimes at the ability of players. He's a ripper.
Player to watch? One of your boys, James Warpole.
Oh, the Warpeter.
The Warpeter.
Yeah, like the way he goes about it. Have liked him for a few weeks now. One of the players that just was a little bit later in the draft and he was talked up earlier. But, yeah, they love him down there. And I think he's a real find for Hawthorn this year. I think he'll be a long-term player. A
couple of big moments in the last 2 weeks. There was the one where he outsmarted and kept his feet on Hurley the previous week against Essendon, which was a game decider there. And the disputed ball between him and Joel Selwood at the weekend.
Yeah,
and he went lower and harder.
Oh, geez. He could have been in a bit of trouble there too, Warple. So, he's got exquisite balance, Warple, and uses the footy well. So a real find for Hawthorn. I really like the way Jager O'Meara is going about it too. Obviously, there's been a lot made of Clarkson and the system they're playing with now. It's pretty hard to penetrate. But Geelong, they'll play finals. They've got Freo at Cadinia Park and then Gold Coast final round. I expect Geelong to play finals. Not incapable, as we've seen. I just really concerns me. I think they're 6-6 against top teams, so they're not. Mm.
They hold their own against the top teams, and the
losses haven't been big losses. Yeah. So they're sort of thereabouts. It just worries me going the other way, and they're just not converting.
They also pinched the one against Melbourne.
Yep.
At Cadinia Park. They were unlucky against West Coast here early in the year. They lost players, and probably you would have backed them to win that game without the loss of players through injury. There's been a bit of luck go both ways.
Well, I reckon they just have to change the way they're going about things pretty radically, I think, to go deep.
Okay.
I think they'll make finals, they could win one. But it'd be really interesting, actually, if they do slip into eighth and Hawthorn finishes fifth.
Let's do one last one before we leave our viewers for this week. The Friday night hit on Saad by Brown.
Yes. Yes.
So if there are you a send off man? Do you?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. So if there was a send off, does Brown get sent off for the hit on Saad? You'll probably get 4 weeks for it.
He does. Because you look at the injury, it's injury related, and I think if Saad comes off, the interesting point was raised at the weekend was that what if Saad then comes back on? Does Brown?
No.
Yeah, I think you've got to be careful with the red card. Possibly we could have a sin bin as well as a red card. A red card means you're out for the game and we could have a sin bin. I'm not sure if I'm overcomplicating it or not, but I am certainly one for that rule. And I think that warranted it.
Yeah, you know what? I've come around to it. I think that, A, we need a send-off, and, B, if you're having a send-off, that's a send-off offence. Yeah.
And as was the week before.
He was just so late, wasn't he? Like, yeah. I don't view Nathan Brown as that sort of player at all, but, God, that was late.
Yeah, it wasn't malicious. It was just late, and Saad did not expect that contact.
No.
And that's when it's a worry. I mean, you concern yourself about whiplash. I'm not sure what his fitness is like this week. There's even suggestions he may play. But I think when you're not expecting that contact and that force, that's when it really concerns me.
I reckon there'll be a few teams will be happy that Essendon probably isn't going to get there. They're playing pretty good football.
They haven't done it. They haven't done a lot wrong. You could say, a lot to like about next year, and they'll cause some damage next year. But that's we've said that a lot about St Kilda. And we probably said that about Essendon last year.
And Melbourne.
So, you know, you've got to do it all again. And but there's certainly enough, I think, in that squad for them to make a run for it in the next 3 or 4 years.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. We'll be back on Thursday. We'll run through all of the tips for what is going to be a pivotal round 22. We'll be doing it for Tab Touch. Hope your team has come out of the weekend quite well. Hope your team, if you're a St Kilda supporter, comes out of the tribunal quite well, although I suspect you might not when Nathan Brown is concerned. And we'll join you again on Thursday.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.